Tuesday, August 13th, I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, a New Hampshire city wants to use a tank against libertarians. Then, Obama appoints a fox to investigate spying in the hen house. And will stolen Libyan missiles be used to shoot down aircraft? All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Instantly assess these guys. These are probably ex-con, real criminals. I've got my three kids here. That gives me, you know, just turbo dinosaur power.
Top story tonight. Report. Michael Hastings was investigating CIA Director John Brennan. This is a report from InfoWars.com. Journalist Michael Hastings was investigating CIA Director John Brennan before his untimely death in a suspicious car accident, it has been revealed, with the report set to be published posthumously by Rolling Stone magazine within the next 2 weeks. Now, as you may recall, InfoWars first reported from Hastings' close friend Sergeant Joe Biggs that the former Rolling Stone journalist was working on, quote, the biggest story yet about the CIA before his suspicious death. Now, according to San Diego Six's Kimberly Dvorak, the CIA acknowledged in an email to her that that was indeed the case, that Hastings was hot on the trail of John Brennan. And Dvorak claims that the magazine is set to publish this expose within the next 2 weeks. That's yet to be confirmed by the publication itself. I emailed them this morning, no response so far. But Brennan, of course, is Obama's former counterterrorism advisor who helped compile the drone program kill list and was labeled in a 2012 Stratfor email hacked by WikiLeaks as being, quote, behind the witch hunts of investigative journalists learning information from inside the Beltway sources. So he's being cited as the key point man in harassing journalists who have sensitive information that they're going to publish. Very interesting in terms of Michael Hastings. So the big question is, was Hastings about to reveal that Brennan had been tasked with targeting independent reporters who were in the business of releasing sensitive information? That will unravel over the course of the next 2 weeks. There's also new analysis in this article by Dvorak, which cites a professor who analyzed the final moments of Hastings before the crash, of course, the surveillance video, which we've seen before. He suggests that Hastings was traveling at only 35 miles per hour before the multiple explosions that appear to be in the video. And that would explain, of course, why there's so little damage to the tree. And it would appear to bolster claims that some kind of incendiary device could have been used to blow up the Mercedes if he was not speeding. The idea of it being a crash, being an accident, begins to pale even more, but we'll continue to keep track of it. Next up, this is out of Washington's blog. Obama appoints Fox to investigate spying in the hen house. That's right, Obama has hired James Clapper as head of a, quote, independent group of outside experts to investigate NSA spying. Of course, Clapper is the same guy who lied to Congress about spying, falsely claiming that the government wasn't spying on the American people. He subsequently had to apologize for Congress for that act of deception. So yet again, we see the administration purporting to offer accountability and oversight, yet appointing insiders who will guarantee damage control. Just as we saw with the 9/11 Commission report, this is not about getting to the truth of the matter and uncovering government malfeasance. It's about covering up the criminal behavior. Because Clapper, of course, is director of national intelligence. He's the spy master in chief, yet he's the, quote, independent figure to provide oversight of the NSA. Barack Obama is literally trolling America. It's like hiring Bernie Madoff to investigate financial fraud, or it's like hiring Charles Manson to track down a serial killer. James Clapper, who lied about NSA spying, is now the independent expert to investigate the NSA. Next story, we are Legion, anonymous presence in the US military. This is out of Liberty Blitzkrieg website. Are we going to see more leaks? Yes. A lot of anonymous members are mid to high rank NCOs. They are well respected, have connections and overly large security clearances. a lot of people who are part of the anonymous culture are just dying at this point for something to come across their table that isn't already out there. So despite the war on whistleblowers and the horrific treatment of Bradley Manning, according to this BuzzFeed interview with an active duty army captain and a member of Anonymous, quote, more leaks are on the way. So now you actually have people who are deliberately joining the military to try and become the next Edward Snowden. So the attempt to keep a lid on all this stuff appears to be failing. Speaking of whistleblowers, Kurt Nimmo reports Benghazi whistleblower lawyer, stolen Libyan missiles will be used to shoot down aircraft. A former US attorney, Joe DiGenova, who is representing a Benghazi whistleblower, told a Washington DC radio station on Monday that 400 surface-to-air missiles were, quote, stolen in Libya and given to some very ugly people, aka Al-Qaeda. Now, of course, let's not get into the debate of whether they were stolen or not, because we know for a fact that the surface-to-air missiles were actually being handed to Al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria by the CIA as part of the now-confirmed, CNN had to report it for everybody to believe it, we were talking about it months ago, the confirmed weapons smuggling operation that was being run out of Benghazi, with the CIA, of course, now engaged in desperate damage control, attempting to hide the details of that program by subjecting CIA agents in the region to monthly polygraph tests. So it's confirmed that the weapons are now going to the Al-Qaeda rebels in Syria and that Benghazi was a key focal point for that operation before the assault on the consulate last year. So, you know, when US airliners are being shot down and that's being used to justify military intervention in yet another country, just remember who gave the terrorists those surface-to-air missiles in the first place. Moving on, New Hampshire City wants a tank to use against occupiers and libertarians. This is out of Mother Jones. While the US government, as we just reported, gives surface-to-air missiles to Al-Qaeda terrorists, the police chief in Concord, New Hampshire, is attempting to secure $250,000 from Homeland Security in order to buy a tank to target the real terrorists, occupiers and libertarians. And this is what the police chief, who was later forced to apologize when this went public, wrote in a filing to secure funding for this armored vehicle. Quote, the state of New Hampshire's experience with terrorism slants primarily towards the domestic type. The filing reads, we are fortunate that our state has not been victimized from a mass casualty event from an international terrorism strike. However, on the domestic front, the threat is real and here. Groups such as the Sovereign Citizens, Free Staters, and Occupy New Hampshire are active and present daily challenges. So there you have it. Once again, they're identifying peaceful political activists like libertarians and occupiers, Occupy Wall Street movement, as domestic terrorists and trying to buy tanks with DHS help to be used against those peaceful political groups. Once again, the real targets of the war on terror are domestic political activists. Newly published study proves watching television dumbs down young children. This is a recent study published by Nature.com. And the conclusion was this, that watching television for young people increases in total television time at 29 months were associated with subsequent decreases in vocabulary and math skills. Classroom engagement, which is largely determined by attention skills, victimization by classmates, and physical prowess at kindergarten. So this study found that all those spheres, maths, vocabulary, even physical prowess, was negatively impacted by watching television at 29 months of age for these toddlers and young children. And of course, that correlates with something we reported a few weeks back, which was the report out of Yahoo, which showed that IQ in Western nations has dropped by a staggering 14.1 points over the course of the last 100 years. And of course, television has undoubtedly played its part in that dumbing down process, which segues into our next story. Newly discovered 8th grade exam from 1912 shows how dumbed down America has become. And When I first saw this story, I was skeptical because there was a heated debate about a similar story back from a couple of years ago about an eighth grade test from 1895, which was used to make the same point about dumbing down in schools. But many claim that was inaccurate because the test was actually directed at teachers and not students. It was hastily debunked. This one cannot easily be debunked, and it's quite shocking to say the least. It was an eighth grade test conducted by Bullitt County School District in 1912. And in this article, which is on Infowars.com from Michael Snyder, he links to the Bullitt County History website, which has a copy of the original test. Now listen to a couple of these questions and ask yourself how an eighth grader in 2013 would fare in this exam. One of the questions is, how many parts of speech are there? Define each. Another question is, locate the following countries which border each other: Turkey, Greece, Serbia, Montenegro, Romania. So this 12th grade test, and these are just two of the questions, there's literally dozens and dozens of them, talking about advanced geographical knowledge. 37% of Americans in 2013 can't even locate America on a world map. And we're talking about adults. This was aimed at eighth graders, and they're talking about identifying Serbia and Montenegro on a map. They're talking about defining all the different parts of speech, talking about mathematical equations and sums that are just mind-bogglingly difficult, even for adults nowadays, and yet they were being aimed at children back in 1912. And, you know, the counter-argument that always comes out when these kind of stories emerge is that, you know, these students were specifically studying to answer these questions at the time. So they'd be well versed in the material. They'd be completely prepared for the exam, whereas just reading it fresh today, we're not prepared for any of it. But it doesn't really wash with me. You know, I remember taking exams 17, 18 years ago when I was at a similar educational level. There's no way they were anywhere near this level of difficulty. And as we mentioned, the IQ, it's confirmed, has dropped 14.1 points. This is the deliberate dumbing down program that Charlotte Isaby has exposed many times on InfoWars. It's about changing education from exalting the best and the brightest to dragging everyone down to the lowest common denominator. You know, the exams have been made so easy nowadays that they have to do it because people wouldn't pass them. Kids are nowhere near as smart as they were 100 years ago, despite all our access to information at the click of a button. They're being dumbed down and they're making the test easier to ensure that people pass them. And it's all deliberate because education now, whatever you believe it started as, isn't about teaching young people how to think. It's about teaching them how to regurgitate. And looking at this test from 1912 only bolsters that point. Final story tonight. Real or hoax, 1960s subliminal national anthem video says obey government. A creepy 1960s national anthem video features subliminal messages encouraging the viewers to obey, consume and trust the government. And it sounds like something straight out of the 1988 science fiction film They Live. But is it genuine or is it a hoax?
Do you see the letters change at the bottom? Let's watch it again in even slower frame-by-frame motion. This video was shown signing off of television programming for the day throughout the 60s, and we know that during that time is the same exact time that the mass mind control MK Ultra project, the government covert operation, was going on in the United States. They were carrying it out on the American people, And that's been admitted. The CIA admitted it in, what, 1970? And there's even a speech where Bill Clinton apologized for it.
Now, if you watch the analysis of this video, which is in the YouTube version on the InfoWars article, you'll clearly see that when it's slowed down, the following text becomes visible. Trust the US government. God is real. God is watching. Believe in government God. Rebellion will not be tolerated. Obey, consume, obey, consume. Buy MK Ultra, buy MK Naomi. Worship, consume, obey, believe. Do not question government. So all these words are scrolling across. You can't see them at real speed, but if you slow it down, you can. So is it real or is it a hoax? Well, the debate still rages. There doesn't seem to be any definitive conclusion from what I've seen. But the fact that the messages so closely resemble those used in They Live, the classic dystopian sci-fi film, does suggest that it is a clever hoax. But no one's taken responsibility for it. Of course, the irony now is that this kind of subliminal messaging isn't really required as a primary tool of brainwashing. They still use it in advertising. But most of the social engineering now is done through storylines in popular TV shows, which they can use to sell any attitude, product, or demonize any political belief, as we see on a regular basis. But again, is it real? Is it a hoax? It's certainly creepy. And I invite you to go and watch that video on Infowars.com. Quote of the day now. Quote, our job is to give people not what they want, but what we decide they ought to have. That's Richard Salent, former president, CBS News. He said that back in the 70s. And you know, now that Americans are finally becoming aware of to what degree exactly their media is controlled, we're now seeing polls that show 77% of the American public distrust mainstream television news. And that's one reason why more and more people are turning to InfoWars and other independent media outlets for a real alternative. We're going to go to a break now, but coming up, David Knight talks to Press for Truth's Dan Dix, who is shooting footage for the Obama Deception 2, about police harassment that he's encountered across the country simply for filming. Stay tuned.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Well, joining us today is Dan Dix from Press for Truth, and he's produced a lot of documentary films that we carry at InfoWarsStore.com. The most recent one is The Turning Point. It was about the 2012 Bilderberg in Virginia. We've also got the Toronto hearings on 9/11. That was, I think, about 2011 that you did that, didn't you, Dan? Then Into the Fire, which is a story about the G20 in Toronto. And then United We Fall, which is about the North American Union. So we got quite a bit of variety here, Dan. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Press for Truth. That's your organization that you've got on your website as well as your documentaries. So.
Yeah, Press for Truth is an independent media outlet that I started back in 2006. Basically just covering events that the mainstream media often fails to report on. So I just began covering various events like protests and started coming across some very interesting protests and finding out, you know, riot footage and different kinds of rallies. So it just began as documenting certain events just to put videos out on YouTube. And that eventually grew into making full-length, feature-length documentary films eventually. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Press for Truth is just me and a couple other guys basically covering everything we can from the Canadian perspective. I find sometimes that's not necessarily getting covered enough, so I tend to focus on that. It's not exclusively for Canadians, but that's somewhat of the focus there with Press for Truth.
And I noticed that we were talking just before we started the interview, several short documentaries submitted for Operation Paul Revere from Andrew Demeter, and he always had Press for Truth there. So how's he associated with your organization? Those were good documentaries.
Yeah. Andrew Demeter is doing great work. Young 15-year-old.
Really? Only 15?
15 years old.
Wow.
Doing amazing stuff.
Yes.
So I put out a call a while back about bringing on some correspondents, and I saw that Andrew was doing great work, so I wanted to get him involved with what I'm doing. So he's been putting together some excellent video reports
for
Press for Truth.
He covered a variety of topics. Now, your stuff seems to be kind of more focused on globalism and the global elites.
Globalization, the whole New World Order agenda, basically, is what we focus on, which encompasses a whole lot of things. That's why we went to cover the Bilderberg. I covered Bilderberg three times now. First time was back in 2006. And then we did it again in Chantilly, and then again this year in London. So we focus on organizations like that as well, obviously, and put together the Turning Point to show what's going on with those guys.
Good. Now, one of the ones I'm interested in here, too, that I haven't seen is the Toronto hearings on 9/11. You present a lot of evidence to a panel of experts. I was just talking to a fellow in the UK, Tony Rook, who's looking to do that. His background, his father was a police officer. And so he did a documentary about a police officer who woke up to 9/11 and what happened to him. Basically, he got booted out of the police service. But he wanted to present that evidence to police and to judges because it's been his experience that a lot of them who are just ordinary, honest cops, once they're presented with the evidence, they're absolutely astounded because they just haven't seen it. What was your experience with Toronto 9/11? What kind of panel of experts did you have that you were presenting that to?
Well, this was a four-day event where there were expert eyewitnesses, architects, engineers, scientists who were presenting their information to a whole panel. 11 years at that point of research have gone into these guys' work, and it was a 4-day event, and we documented the entire thing, and I got an opportunity to interview all of the people who were speaking there. So this is not so much a documentary, it's a 6-hour long informational DVD package, basically, of kind of all the latest information on what's going on with
all different disciplines.
All different disciplines of people studying 9/11 for the past 11 years, basically. So it was, like I said, a 4-day event. We managed to condense it all down to 6 hours. So that particular DVD is just jam-packed with the latest info on all the stuff going on with 9/11.
And it's amazing because as I go through it, everybody's got some level of expertise. Even if they don't have a level of expertise, they've seen building demolitions before. They can also understand, you know, two planes, three buildings, that doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Right? But it's interesting to see people who have expertise in a particular area. I know that Gore Vidal was talking about how his father had set up the NORAD defense system in the early days, and that was the first thing that clicked with him. So whatever your level of expertise, there were so many different levels that people would look at it and say, that's just total BS. That just can't happen that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes we'll have people who, when this is sensitive, who'll say, well, I was there. You know, you weren't. And like you said, you don't necessarily have to have been there to be able to study this event and to know that the official story just simply does not add up. And that's another thing about the DVD is we left speculation at the door. There's no, it's just pure facts. You know, this is kind of coming from a scientific kind of a stance. So we left opinion and that sort of thing at the door. And
being there doesn't really do anything. I mean, you know, being an eyewitness to it, you can see the plane crash into the building. But when you have a pilot who has flown these planes for decades, who has instructed people on how to fly these planes for decades, when he says that you can't control a plane at that altitude, at that speed, that's important. That's something that even if you're an eyewitness to it, you don't know that when you first see that. That's something that comes out over a period of time as experts come forth and say, you know, this really doesn't add up.
That's right. That's right. And it's the same with all the demolition experts who can see that this falls in line with controlled demolitions.
Mm-hmm. And you had people on the very day saying over and over again, wow, that just looked like a controlled demolition of a building. You had news anchors who were saying that. Yeah. You could see that. So, yeah. Well, that's very interesting. Now, you're here today in studio because you're working on another documentary.
Yes.
You're working on the next InfoWars documentary, and you've been traveling all over the country getting B-roll footage. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. Yeah, I've been helping out Alex with the Obama Deception Part 2. So I've been going to a number of states, just covering some stuff in Washington, D.C., some stuff in New York. We were out to Philadelphia and Mount Vernon in Virginia, and basically just shooting B-roll for the film. And so now I'm here in Austin, Texas, to sit down with you guys for a couple days to kind of help edit the shots together of all the stuff that we...
It sounds like fun. It sounds like you're having a great vacation, except people who haven't shot in these locations don't know the kind of hassles that you get from the authorities and from the powers that be. Tell us a little bit about some of that. I'm sure you've had...
Far from a vacation. We've been putting in 14, 15-hour days of filming.
Yeah.
Definitely getting hassled. A good example is in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
We'd often get hassled about having a tripod. And, you know, when we'd end up talking to these police officers, we'd eventually realize that if we collapsed the three legs together into a monopod, they'd say, well, that's okay. And the one police officer even said to me, well, you know, that's because it's not going to be as steady as a shot. It's not going to be as crisp and as smooth, because then they know that they should be selling you a permit for it. But
yeah,
it's
right.
All ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's ways around that. You know, they even have the monopods now with the little feet that come out. So
exactly.
Yeah, how does that fall? Is that a tripod or is that not a tripod?
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of micromanagement of the rules. What about New York? Bloomberg land.
Yeah, New York. We ran into a couple of issues. We were down at the New York Stock Exchange. At one moment we were shooting the stock ticker going by, and one of the officers came up to us and said, you know, this is all copywritten. We said, what is? And he said, all of this, it's a brand, it's copywritten. We said, the building? He said, yeah, the building, all of it. We have robots that scan the internet for this kind of footage, and if we find this, you know, and find that you're using it, then you could get in trouble. And we basically just said, well, good luck with that.
Well, that's what you'd expect, I guess, from a Wall Street representative. They think they own the world.
So that's
they're
it.
Trying to pull every string and every underhanded thing they can to try to own the world. It's it's an interesting issue about copyright. You know, there is... It's an issue of balance, isn't it? You know, because we want everybody's work to be respected. But then it gets to the point where it gets so overreaching. I mean, even if you look at copyrights for programs, you've got absurd copyright issues that were filed that say, you know, copyright for displaying a picture on a phone.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't have anything to do with any technological innovation.
Yeah.
And the copyrights that they're putting on things that you can shoot are pretty much just that absurd. I mean, the fact that you can walk in public and see something, the fact that Google Earth can take a shot of it.
Yeah.
How does that come into it?
Well, you got Google Street View going around getting all this stuff, putting it all out on the internet anyways. It's all available.
Right.
It's not like we're out there doing reconnaissance. If this is what we're doing, we just go online. Plus, not to mention the fact that there's tourists all over the place in these
constantly
areas.
Snapping. That's right.
Constantly taking pictures, constantly snapping. So
a lot of that's just intimidation.
Pure intimidation,
Well, Dan, it's great meeting you and talking to you, and we really look forward to seeing your work incorporated into Obama Deception 2. These are great documentaries that you put out. At United We Fall, about the North American Union. We've got The Turning Point, which is the 2012 Bilderberg in Chantilly, Virginia. We have the Toronto hearings on 9/11, expert panels reviewing the evidence, and Into the Fire, which is about the G20 Toronto meeting. Dan, how can people reach you and get to your website? Give out that information. Anything you want to tell us about Twitter?
All this is available on my main flagship site, which is pressfortruth.ca. I do a lot of YouTube videos as well as documentary films. They all go there. I also have a subscription-based website for people who want to support the work that I'm doing.
Right, that's important.
At PressForTruth.tv, where all of these films are available in high quality for download. And then, of course, if anybody wants to get direct to it firsthand, there's my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/WeavingSpider.
Okay, great. Weaving Spider.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's straight from Bohemian Grove. Learned that from Alex.
That's great. Well, great work, Dan. It's great meeting you.
Thank you.
That's it for tonight. We'll be back at 7 p.m. Central tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at Infowars.com/show.